What's going on, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Straying Forward podcast. Today, I've got a guest on. His name is Logan Jenkins. We actually just threw down for the we just met each other for the first time and threw down at a competition at Beach Brawl, the third. Yeah, took third, which actually I think we're super impressed with because we didn't practice any of the workouts. We'd never thrown down together at all, and we managed to go out there and freaking dominate, which was super fun. But Logan is a coach. He's a business owner, incredibly smart. We had a lot of amazing conversations when we were there at Beach Brawl, just about how to structure things different in business, how to help people get out of pain, like all sorts of stuff. So today, I'm really excited for him to sort of give you a deep dive into what that process looks like and how he helps people in his mission. So I will hand it over to you, Logan. Why don't you tell people who you are, how you got into this, you know, the whole thing.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. That was a beautiful handoff. We didn't dress rehearse that at all. I would have to start by saying that I'm Logan Jenkins and I'm just some dude. I would kind of, describe my CrossFit journey as a very stereotypical, started in a garage and then kind of just built it along the way. That's the short version. The more elongated version of that is, at one point in time, I was a full-time student at just a local community college. I was a full-time Geek Squad agent at Best Buy. I was a personal trainer. Yeah,
wait, hold on. That. You were a Geek Squad agent?
Yeah, man. I can run in circles on some computers.
That's amazing. Let's go.
And then I was a personal trainer at a gym in town and then ended up kind of starting this whole thing out of my garage at the same time. So my day started at 6 and didn't end until like 11:30. And I did it for like 6 months and I you weren't getting anywhere because you were just striking so many different fires and it wasn't catching traction. So at the time I was living with my dad and I said, hey, foot the bill for a year. If you don't see any noticeable progress, I'll go back to school and then I'll pay you back. And he said, okay. And then along that time he also had a heart attack, so I had to stay home to help him. And ended up pushing all my chips into this garage gym thing. And then every 2 years, when our lease eclipsed, we had to get a bigger house or like a house with like a more ideal setup for the garage. And so we ended up going from like Austin Street to Briarcrest, which had like a 3-car garage, which was amazing. And then we moved to like Butler Ridge, which had like a door to the backyard with a concrete slab and a driveway. And then we moved out to Hardy Whedon, which had a shop on it, which that was it. We had done it. It was a 30x40 shop with a bathroom and 300-foot drive. It was nuts.
Wow.
And then we kind of stayed there and then ended up asking my now wife to marry me. And we kind of just were checking the boxes over and over and over again, but we didn't really know what the next step was. But I am very, very, very strong in my faith, and I believe that God's kind of had his hand on my shoulder the whole time. And we were kind of pushed to buy this previous gym known as Welburn CrossFit, and we took everything that we had been doing over the last 10 years and then put it into a CrossFit gym and flipped it on its face, and now it's known as CrossFit SDA. So
let's go.
That's the long-winded answer of everything, that how we got started, what we do, and stuff like that. So
that's amazing, man. So actually, I don't remember if we talked about this, but how long did you compete? Did you go semifinals in the whole thing for CrossFit?
I had done that. Let's see. So let's say this year I have captained 4 different teams, 2 semifinals, 3 years in a row. So we were very, very blessed that 1 year we had an amazing group of people that we qualified 2 teams to semis 2 years ago. So since then, that was it.
Dude, you were, so when we teamed up in Beach Brawl, you were like, I was just did a podcast with Hannah Thompson.
Yeah.
I told her, I was like, man, it was awesome having Logan. Cause Logan was like, he was dialed in. He was like, this is what we're going to do. This is what you're going to eat. This is like the process. Yeah. I was like, all right, dude, I'll do it. I love it.
Just tell me what to do. I told her that a long time ago. I said, hey, look, if you give me your trust, like I'm not going to take advantage of it, but you just need to be very clear about your communication. And on the flight over, I told my wife, I was like, man, I'm very nervous to like, I don't want to alpha people, but I just know what I've done has worked for a long time. Yeah. And so one of my skill sets now is learning how to talk to each person the way they need to be spoken to, not necessarily the way I need to be spoken to. Mm. And so she was like, just do what you do. You'll be fine. And so I was like, hey, what does everybody think about this? And then we started going, and it worked really well. Like, don't get me wrong. When we got done, I told Sam, I said, man, it's been a long time since I got third place. Like, I know how arrogant that sounds, but like, when we got done, I was like, I'm excited and happy about it all. It worked really, really well, especially because of the caliber of some of those teams.
Yeah.
And then everybody took to it well. We had, what, 2 heat wins?
Yeah, dude.
We would have had some event wins, but seconds matter, I guess.
Yeah. We kind of, there was some
the announcers, that's what it was. The announcers were on the other team's side.
Yeah, they were paid off.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, right. The script.
Paid off judges.
That's it.
All right, so now you've got your business. You've got CrossFit. What is the name of it? CrossFit FTX?
SDA.
SDA. So CrossFit SDA. Yeah. And how long has this been going now? 2 years?
So November is year 5. So we'll be starting year 5 in a, I would say, brick and mortar official affiliate. But I've been doing the same thing for going on 12 years now.
Jeez, dude. Okay, yeah. So you've been grinding at this for a while. That's awesome.
Stick with something.
That's something. So let's highlight this. Tell people, or walk people through, like, you have a pretty unique approach. Or maybe not crazy unique, but you definitely do some different things than like a traditional CrossFit gym. Yep. I think it'd be really cool for people to hear that and how you help them. Specifically helping people get out of pain, which I think is really awesome. And there's a ton of people out there in pain from various different elements. So walk people through like what that process looks like and what you guys do differently.
So we always kind of bring in people and we ask them to wave a wand, right? Because most people, the hardest step is starting, whether it's walking into the gym or having that inception of, I need to do better. Because we, as really and truly a species, have placed toughness at the front of what we do. Like, I have a high pain tolerance. We tell our clients that does us a disservice. If we're trying to completely eradicate something that you have become accustomed to suffering with for decades, then I need to know all of it. Yeah. And we start by describing the 4 different levels of pain. And then we tell them, like, where are you on your pain scale? Because we tell people all the time, the maximum amount of pain you as a human should be able to endure is 0. You shouldn't feel anything on your body. Because at one point in time, you never did. And then you started doing something too much or not doing something enough, be it you started running, just, you know, couch to 5K type deal, or a marathon runner, or you found the clean and jerk and snatch and you fell in love with it, or barbell sports. And you started doing something too much or too little or anatomically incorrect. And then all of a sudden, everything hurts. And you're like, no. It's fine. I'm tough. And then it's more than just that. And then it's a little more. And then you have to stop doing the thing that ultimately ignited your fire. So we tell people from the beginning, you have become accustomed to suffering. Because at one point, you never had to worry about that. We'll do a small exercise now, if you're okay with it,
yeah,
kind of explain it. So we tell people, when you come in, we identify a pain scale, right? And it's to start, we'll pay homage to Larry Geyer and Dr. Shaw and the big bosses over at Active Life, because those were my mentors. Is we start with the 4 different levels of pain. The first one is what's known as an insult. An insult is an unconscious response to a physical sensation. So right now, talking to me, you're not aware of like your nose or your ears. You may be aware of your forearms because they're in contact with the armrests of your chair, right? That's like a 0 to a 2. You don't really feel it.
Yeah.
The next one, and normally about this time, I grab someone's hand and I start doing this. And I start flicking it.
Yeah.
This is what's known as an irritation. An irritation is something that we create in the gym, sometimes too well. And this is all the way up to no more than a 5. This is a conscious response. So if you start flicking your own hand, you're going to feel your hand more than you feel like your forearms on the chair, your feet in contact with the floor, right?
Yep.
The next two we don't demonstrate. But the one above in the irritation is what's known as pain. Pain is an emotional response. So think about stubbing your toe, right? Ouch, that hurts. Or you go into a squat and ouch, my knee or something. This is as high as like a 7. The one above that is what's known as injury. Injury is I cannot. You go to do a deadlift, you snap something, whatever it is, yep. and you lay down on the ground. Hey, Kyle, get up. We got to go. Class is starting. So you'd be like, dude, I can't move.
Can't move yet.
This is higher than a 7. We don't create those in the gym. That's how we use universal language to see and hear our clients when they come in the gym. Hey, where are you at right now? Oh, yeah, no, it's fine. It's just tight like that. It's not supposed to always be tight like that.
Yeah.
And so it's really, really borderline invasive when we talk to people about their pain journey, because we as professionals get minutes with them. We get infinitely more than doctors do.
Right.
But we don't get the day-to-day that they do. Some people wake up every day in some kind of pain, and we've coined it to becoming an identity. And this goes against the grain, but here we go. Think about the diabetes culture, right? We tell people, you are not your diagnosis. In that world, yeah, you are. I am diabetic. Rather than saying, I have diabetes. By saying, I am diabetic, you allow a situation, a series of circumstances, a diagnosis to make up and encompass your identity.
Yeah, you claim it.
That's crap. Yeah. It shouldn't be. And that's what we tell people. Like, you don't walk around and say, oh, yeah, I'm sciatica. Nice to meet you. It's like, no, you're Kyle. You're not sciatica. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm left knee pain when I run. Or I'm shoulder pain when I bench, but not when I overhead press. What's that about? That's weird. And we tell them, you're not that. You've just become accustomed to suffering, because most of the time, anything that comes out of their mouth, we have some kind of like, wait a minute, let's go this way with everything they say. Again, like, you've become accustomed to suffering. You've just gotten good at tolerating the BS attached to what's going on. What if you didn't have to? And then they're like, no, I've had that for 6 years. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're like, wait, is that even possible? Yeah,
about that time I break this book out that says I've got a whole bunch of his success stories and the pictures on the wall of people that have walked that walk. And I said, hey, look, just give us 2 sessions. Let me show you something. Because we really and truly, the magic's about session number 3. And they start to not notice things. Like, you do a lot of running and jumping and double unders and your Achilles gets real pissed off. But then you start doing some actual like warm up for it and prep. And then you wake up in the morning and you don't feel your Achilles the second you get out of bed, right?
Yep.
That's what we do, is we get people, we bridge the gap between health and wellness. So the big deal is physical therapists take on what's known as your ADLs, your activities of daily living, getting up and down stairs, getting on and off the floor, walking your dog, shampooing your hair. Yep. They don't address your ADIs. Your ADIs are activities of daily interest, clean and jerk, snatch, muscle up, run. Kickboxing, that's what we do. We happen in chronological and sequential order, and we pick up where a physical therapist leaves off. We tell people all the time, hey, if you need physical therapy, we've got some guys in our network. You need to go call them. When they get done, come talk to us, not before then. And a lot of people see that. They're like, whoa, wait a minute. Y'all do physical therapists. You're a physical therapist. You don't have a degree for that. Like, you're right. That's not what we're doing.
Right, yeah.
So we don't have the cable systems that can pull your arms in place or need to do body work or scrape. We don't do that. And that's the biggest message, I would say, that's kind of what we do. But our ultimate goal when we sit them down at the table is to get them to understand, we see you.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be good at suffering anymore. We got you.
Yeah, that is, I love that you hit on that, because, man, that is, that's huge for every aspect of life. The claiming of I am, like, you can even take that to I am an angry person. It's like, no. Maybe you have tendencies to get frustrated and be impatient, but you are not that identity. And people claim this. I struggle with this. This is the part I'm trying to break in my own life. It's like unclaiming these identities that don't serve us and believing that, like, okay, I'm not actually stuck with that. I don't have to be stuck with that. That's huge.
Yeah. We tell people all the time that injury starts in the brain, and they're like, look at us. I'm like, I'm not saying you got to go close your eyes and touch this muscle and lick this totem pole or something like that, but it really is you have to want to get better.
Yeah.
Because, so example, HSR is a heavy, slow resistance therapy that you just lift weights with a tempo. That's it. That is scientifically, whoa, that's crazy. I do HSR. It's like, no, you just do what you need to do with a tempo. Mm. Well, most of the time, the patience of the athlete runs out before the protocol is completed. It's 12 weeks. And there are some things that you have to run multiple go rounds, because let's take that person that's had chronic knee pain, right? Yeah. They've tried resting it. Rest doesn't work. But they're like, oh, the first mile's the warm up. And if Grace Mills or Randy Jedlicka are listening to this, you know I'm talking to you. That they do that. And it's like, wait a minute, have you tried squatting with a tempo often? Like, no. I said, okay. So one of my clients, I took her through that. She hadn't had knee pain in a long time. And I said, hey, it's 12 weeks, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Here's the rep scheme. Here's what we're going to go do. She got about 6 weeks in, which is about where the magic starts to happen. You're like, all right, I'm done. I'm good. Nah. We're trying to get you to where you never have that problem again. Not awesome. What we call putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. Because we are not in the business of medically sounding symptom treating. So if you've got some pain going on in your forearm or your wrist, and turns out because of the way your shoulder is serving you, be it it's not flexible enough, it's not strong enough, your recruitment isn't good, whatever it is, me treating your wrist isn't going to help you. Mm-hmm. We're just stuck in this carousel over and over and over again of what we call the cycle of re-injury. Until we get to the root cause of it all, it's going to always happen. And people think we're fortune tellers when we do that. I'm like, hey, do you get back pain when you run? They're like, oh my God, how did you know that?
No.
I'm like, well, you actually can't get your heel to your butt here. So every time you strike, and then we go down a rabbit hole and their eyes are like this big. Obviously. Like, what do I need to do? I'm like, split squat with a rock back. And then they freak out because it's that simple sometimes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, so, okay. So that's a good segue. So, you know, someone comes to you, you said magic happens on session three. What does session one, two, and three look like? You know, how do you take a client through that process?
Kyle, I'm glad you asked. So the first thing we do is we take them through what's known as a movement screen. And again, paying homage to that company right there, Active Life, is all it is just, it tells us what is appropriate to put your joints through and where you are right now. Because
Is that the same as a functional movement screen, or is it a little bit different with Active Life?
It depends on what it is. Like, I've seen it change, but we don't use an overhead squat for a screen. Basically, it's, can you touch the floor? Do you have external rotation in your shoulders? How does your knee move? All of those. What's the measurement in your flexion in your wrist and ankles? And we put quantifiable data to it. So it's, hey, you need this much. You have this much. Is it because of this or this? And we translate it to them. We're not in the business of gatekeeping. We tell them, hey, look, and it's free. The consult and the movement screen, about an hour. The movement screen takes 5 minutes.
Yeah.
With my professionals and myself that are a part of the team at SDA. And then we can actually sit there and go line by line of why deadlifting hurts your back. Hey, you actually can't get to the floor. It's inappropriate for you to pull from the floor. Here's what you need to do to fix that. And here's how we would progress you. And they're like, okay, here, take my money, because I'm not going to do that on my own. I need you to help me with that. That's the first part.
Yeah.
As members of my team start to step into their power, they use the strength balance, which is all we're doing is finding their functional diagnosis, which again, sounds very medically professional. It's not. All it tells us is, how does your body serve you? Top to bottom, left to right, front to back. Can you press the same amount on your left shoulder versus your right? Are your push and pull even? Is your squat close to your deadlift? Can you squat more than your deadlift?
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, I'm glad that that's more common, but that's what that is. So it's meet and greet consult. And again, that's all free because we want to tell people, hey, we can help you. I actually, with Paula yesterday, make no mistake, her son was basically asking us to part the Red Sea by working with her. And I said, here are our options. A, you need what we have. So we're going to be empathetic and pushy, because what's going to happen is 6 months is going to pass and you're going to be stuck in the same position if you're lucky. If not, you're getting worse.
Yep.
Or we offer our first promise. If you're not in the market to buy it, we're not going to sell it to you. Because if we can't provide on our promise, we get hit hard. Because it's premium prices to be able to come in here. You think of a personal trainer, 30, 40, 50, maybe if they're good looking or they have a following, $100 an hour. We're more than that. But we are effective at solving complex problems. We give people back the thing that they once had. Once they step into their power, they take them through the strength balance after that.
Dude, yeah. And you know, hitting on the price point thing, like because I'm learning about sales right now. You and I, we talked about that, and yeah. it's there's so many, I want to talk about so much of that, but with the price, it's like, could I pay you the cost of this to stay in pain?
Yeah, that's actually one of our counter questions we ask them, because we need to know how serious they are.
Yeah, and if you're like, hey, it costs $2,000, let's just say, you know, $2,000 to get out of this pain over the course of 2 months, could I pay you $2,000 to stay in this pain? And they're like,
no. For the rest of your life. For the rest of your life.
Yeah. And then most times they're like, no, it's not worth it. It's like, okay, yeah. So wouldn't you invest in this? But yeah, that's a whole other thing. But that's it's when you put it in that framework, it changes the way you look at it.
Inside the four quadrants of people that you talk about, that question hits really hard to people like me. So I'm what's known as a driver, where it's tell it to me, ABC, 1, 2, 3. I don't need stories or anything like that. Tell me that if I don't spend this money, I'm not going to get where I want to go. And they're like, okay, cool. Can I pay you that kind of money? But our second promise at SDA is if anytime we're going through these first three sessions, something outside our scope of expertise, not baseline surface level knowledge, what we are good at pops up and we don't know the answer. Hey, I don't know that. Give me a couple of days. Let me figure it out. Or I will refer you to one of my colleagues that know more. 99% of the time, it's either going to be Dr. Sean and Larry Geyer. And we tell them like, hey, look, these people over here need to come to you because we have no clue. Yeah. We're also very well connected in our city with the best orthopedic surgeon, the best PTs, because we don't want to just leave people hanging.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And like, hey, look, once if that issue gets taken care of, call them. But yeah, because when you walk into a doctor's office, you expect to pay doctor's office prices. But most of the time, it's just testing and they don't even know. We do all the testing for free.
Yeah.
So it's, hey, look, we can show you exactly what we're going to do with you. Here's session one. Here's session two. Ready, set, go. And then they just sit there like, okay, let's do it. And then we charge them like, hey, look, this is what it's going to cost you. But we sell them exactly what they need to buy, which is our third promise. We will never take advantage of your situation for our own financial gain. If you need 36 sessions, 3 sessions, no sessions, or 108 sessions, we tell you. And then we break it down why. Like we have the standard 12, 24, 48 sessions package. But we tell people, hey, look, we understand these prices are intimidating, but you don't need more than 8. They're like, whoa. Well, then why the 12? Like, you wanted to get back into class, right? Let's use these last 4 to get you back into class.
Right.
But if you can't put your arm over your head and you're like, yeah, I want to do CrossFit because I saw it on the games or on ESPN. It's like, hey, wait a minute. There are 19 movements that you've got to put your arms over your head. If you pay a gym membership, let's say it's $150,
yeah,
and every other day you have to go overhead, your gym membership is actually costing you 70% more because you can't take advantage of those days. So you just don't come, right? You've seen it. That one guy that will never come to back squat day in class. He doesn't back squat. And so his gym membership, because you pay per day basically, is more expensive because every Tuesday during the month he can't come or chooses not to.
That's a really unique way to look at it. And that's I like that actually. That makes a ton of wow.
I mean, we break it down to the people that come in as a way to earn their trust and respect, but to show them, hey, look, I see you. But what if you didn't have to do that?
Yeah.
Like, no, you don't understand. Like, well, actually, I've worked with these people. And then we show them testimonials that relate to them. Our biggest sense of advertising, aside from this podcast, is word of mouth.
Yeah.
Our own clients act as billboards and sounding boards for any new people. And we tell them when they come in to they do a price inquiry on our website or whatever, we put them into a group chat. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, I want to do CrossFit, but I've got this wrist and hip thing. Oh, funny you say that. So it's a middle-aged woman that works at a desk and has done CrossFit before, but had that taken away from her. We go through our success stories and find that person and put them in a group chat. Or if they're at the gym, we introduce them. Hey, you should talk to so-and-so. They worked with Nathan or Gage or Hannah. This is what they've gone through. You too, because we ask them, why not you?
Yeah.
Like the success stories of people losing 100, 150 pounds, they seem like they're just this figure that you've never heard of or seen. And then you put them, hey, oh, this is their number. You should call them. Like, what? And all of a sudden they become real.
Yes, dude. Yeah. That's something I've had that same exact thought in my own life. Whenever I meet someone that I quote unquote idolize or whatever, you see him in person, and all of a sudden you're like, this feels way more attainable than it did before.
Because they're human.
Yeah, you realize that they're like a person with a personality, and they do things, and like they're weird or whatever. You realize, I guess this can actually be me.
Yeah, they quote How I Met Your Mother and Grandma's Boy all the time. Like, there you go.
Yeah. That's I love that, dude. So, okay, so session one, session two. So we get to session three. Mm-hmm. So what happens in that session where the magic happens?
So the magic happens that once we get an idea of their movement screen and their strength balance or their functional diagnosis, it tells us. So they come in, let's say you got shoulder pain. Right? Hey, my shoulder hurts, but I'm right hand dominant. I'm like, okay. Well, we screen them, and one of the tests we look at is what's known as their shoulder flexion. So can you raise your arm over your head? For those of you that don't know, it's right here.
Yeah.
Well, let's say we got, it's like, it hurts every time I strict press or shoulder press with a barbell. Like, okay, raise your arm over your head. Let's take a measurement. They touch their hand to the floor. No problem. Their left arm looks like this. So if we turn them sideways, they're like this.
Yeah.
Like, hey, your left arm can't get into a position that your right arm requires with a barbell. So you are ratcheting your shoulder into a position you don't have. Well, a lot of people, and this is what separates us from everyone else, like, oh, okay, I just need to stretch. And it's like, well, wait a minute. If you needed to stretch, I'm going to tell you, you need to stretch. Mm-hmm. But if you need to be doing single arm pullovers or landmine presses instead of dumbbell presses or dumbbell presses instead of shoulder presses, we show them. Yeah. And that's kind of, we build out an individual protocol for that individual and then walk them through it. That's the big one, because how you do something is more important than what you are doing. My example, and I think I told you this at Beach Brawl, was the back squat. Mm-hmm. Let's take a 5x5 back squat. That's the umbrella that we're putting the squat in. 10 seconds in the bottom, a 1 minute rest, a 3 minute rest, a 5 minute rest, a box squat, a speed squat, a tempo squat, all of those are still under the umbrella of a 5x5 back squat, but they serve a different purpose for every single thing. And we tell them, for you, you need to do 3 extra sets on your left arm. For you, you need to leave the barbell alone for about 3 weeks while we are attacking this strength imbalance or pain. Yeah. Okay. And then we retest them at halfway through their session package and at the end, and we put quantifiable data to it. Week one, day two, you did 3 sets of 6 dumbbell pullover at 2.5 pounds to this range, and it hurt. Mm. Now, because we've worked underneath your threshold, after however long it takes, you can now barbell strict press. And we are not in the business of keeping people underneath our thumb. We tell them, here is A, here is your B, strict pressing.
Yep.
Here's the B line. This is what we need to do.
Yep, that's awesome.
So those two sessions, by the third session, we've established what's known as their low-hanging fruit. Why you're paying a coach to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's it. Because if they need to be doing XYZ, we're going to tell them, hey, you're going to be doing XYZ with me, not ABC. We are not in the business of getting people sweaty, sore, and tired, unless that's what they want.
Yeah, right.
That's the goal, right? You hire a personal trainer to turn your brain off, not to think, and then you just go rage. But some people are like, look, I want to go upstairs. I need to be able to get things up off the cabinet, which I understand sounds very geriatric, but that's how it starts. One of my right-hand man, Nathan, he has said it starts there, because you can injure the body in a number of ways, right? Muscle, ligament, tendon, bone, skin. But the other big one that a lot of people don't talk about is the brain, right? So it's called fear avoidance. And you may have experienced it. I don't do this because the last time I did it, it hurt.
Yeah.
You just stop.
Very psychological.
Yeah. He had coined the thing, that's where it starts. So you don't deadlift because it hurts. So you just don't deadlift. Mm. Well, then because you don't deadlift, you don't pick things up off the ground. Well, then you start to develop this fear of always hinging at the hip. So you squat down to pick everything up. So by then, after many, many years, hopefully, you get really good at adjusting. We as humans are fantastic at pattern recognition and accommodating. And that shouldn't be the case.
Yeah. We're masters at adapting just to survive.
Yes.
And even if you take that even further, I think sometimes, especially with high level athletes, they're masters at compensation and figuring out how to be efficient and all these things. And sometimes high level athletes can have the biggest like movement, but they just figure it out.
Yes. Yeah. Some people, they think that like, so what I tell people is what I do for sport, like I compete at the semifinal level of the CrossFit circuit, is almost the exact opposite of what I do for profession. But the two cross-pollinate really, really well, because if like, hey, it's not uncommon to clean and jerk and snatch every other day in the sport of CrossFit, right? But you ask them to deadlift and they freak out. And it's, hey, look, you pick things up off the ground almost every day. Like, what are you going to do with your groceries? You just going to goblet squat them from the car down to the shelf or whatever? Like, no. Right. Yeah, I mean, you laugh, but if you've seen someone that is really good at tolerating pain for an extended period of time, they will find a way to get it done.
Yeah.
And it's, hey, you shouldn't have to do that. Just because you personally are going through whatever you have going on doesn't mean it has to stop there. It doesn't. That's not as good as it gets. Or my favorite, it is what it is. Like, what if it didn't have to be?
Right, yeah.
This all sounds like snake oil, smoke and mirrors, and fairy tales. But I got 100 different testimonials from 100 different paths that say it doesn't have to be. And if it's not, I'll connect you with somebody that can help you.
Yeah, 100%, dude. It definitely does not have to be like that. Nope. I'm really glad you're hitting on that. Do you do all of your, so when you start working with the client, do you do all the sessions one-on-one for whatever that block is, you and your coaches?
Yeah, so shorter answer, it depends. Long answer is we are not territorial. So I have Hannah Thompson, I have John Gage, and then I have Nathan Hale and myself. We are the four professionals. So one-on-one, heavily based coaches. We touch class every now and then, but if someone comes in with an issue specific thing, it is inappropriate for me as a business owner and as a head coach and as the owner of this gym. So I get it on three fronts to just take it for the sake of money. Because what we do is we as humans have to perceive that what we're buying is worth twice as much. We want more for our money. So you come in, you buy, let's say Black Friday, you spend $10,000 on Rogue. First thing you're gonna be like, hey, you got a free t-shirt? Like, no, you're already buying the equipment. Here's what you're paying for. We as humans want more for our money. So when they come in, oh, you've got knee problem. This is Gage. Gage has worked with 5 people with these knee issues, and he himself has had problems. It would be inappropriate for me to take them. So right. I tell them, hey, look, have you met Gage? Here's why you need to work with them. So we have this network that we go through checks and balances with all of our coaches. If I don't know something, I'm going to ask Nathan. Yeah, Nathan is the man when it comes to nerve stuff. Gage is elbow and knee specialist. Hannah is back and hip specialist. And we tell them, this is what you need to do with that individual. And then we start them. We go through the movement screen, go through the strength balance, and we build out their protocols. And then we create what's called a touch point. So about halfway through, you should start to see quantifiable and categorical change. You should feel a difference.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to see it. And unless you're going out and running marathons at every other session, we tell them, look, this is what you're paying for. It's our job as a coach to protect your investment. Because if, let's say you come in, you're like, hey, look, I got this hip thing going on. All right, Kyle, I'm going to see you 3 days a week at this time frame. This is what we're doing. You can do whatever you want when you're not with me. Just don't do these things. Here's why.
Yeah.
And then because it's going to elongate the process. And sometimes rest is the answer and people hate it.
We tell them,
I popped my back doing this thing or whatever. What corrective exercise can I do to fix it? I need you to rest until symptoms return to normal. You're normal. Once we're done, we'll pick that back up. And they're like, no, that doesn't work for me. But like I said, we're in the game of telling them what they need to buy. So take stock. This is what you need. Don't do this while you and I are going through here. After that, you're going to shoot straight past where you were, because if not, you're just spinning yourself in circles and you haven't gotten anywhere. That's why we're here now.
Yeah.
Again, seeing people.
Yeah. People hate resting, dude. Even myself, it's so hard to rest. It's like this idea we have where we're like, if some is good, more is better. It's like,
man.
Not always.
We, we talk to people when they're coming back from whatever it is they've got going on, right? We establish what's known as their Goldilocks zone. So their Goldilocks zone is you're stuck in war between these two different areas. Your minimum effective dose versus your maximum tolerable volume. We want to live in the middle. And as we continue to respect these two borders throughout time, it goes like this. And all of a sudden, your current ceiling is your baseline floor in many weeks. That's actually how we handle people with arthritis, because it's not curable, but it's manageable. So we do exactly that. Hey, look, I see you. I hear you. Here's what I'd like to offer. Because we talked about earlier in the podcast, injury starts in the brain. You have to accept that you have to maybe do the non-fun stuff in order to get back to where you were so that you never have to do it again. Yeah. That's what we do. And we tell them exactly that. Like, injury starts up here. Once we clear that out of the way, the rest of it's easy. Don't chase maximum tolerable volume right now. Yeah. Get the minimum. Get the irritation effect. Hey, look, my arms feel super big. My legs feel blown up. Okay, good. We only ever work out in the gym to create the opportunity to recover. People think they get better in the gym. No, you don't. You get better when you sleep. You get better when you eat. You get better when you do X, Y, Z. But you got to create a response first and then go rest. If you would rest as hard as you ran, oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
Unstoppable.
Yeah, I agree 100% on that.
Sorry, I mean to ramble, but like I said, that's what we do here is we pick people apart mentally to like peel back those layers so that they start to trust us. Like, okay.
Yeah. Dude, once you start to change someone's belief or you start to challenge their belief and you make them realize, you create that gap between where they are, where they want to go, and they're like, oh, wait a second. I don't actually know what I'm doing. They're like, okay. It shatters their beliefs. It shatters everything. And they're like, I want to learn this. And then they're willing to get better, dude.
And that man, once we tell them like, look, we just need to jump the hurdle of money because, and again, this is the thing. There are four pillars that you have to be a 10 out of 10 on in order to buy a certain thing, right? Number one is the company. That's why you buy your car from this dealership, not this dealership, or you buy clothes from Lululemon, but not Walmart. Like those things. You got to believe in the company and the quality of the thing that you are buying, the product or service. It's got to be good. The next is the person that you're buying it from. Because regardless of whether you feel confident enough, you got to trust the car salesman to buy the thing. Is this really what I need? Do I need a V8? Do I need four-wheel drive? Whatever it is, it's their job. Whether they make a kickback on it or not, but you have to believe in them. So you have the company, you have the product or service, and then you have the thing that you're buying or the person that's selling it to you. But ultimately, and this is the big hangup, you have to believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Kyle, you need to do this, this, and this. You need to do 4x6 back squat at this weight, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Every week, add 2 reps, add 10 pounds. Do that. There you go. Hey, look, I don't think I have the ability to do that by myself or stick to it. I need you. And that's what we do. We want to be able to protect their investment by showing, all right, so from what I'm hearing, you don't have faith in the product you're buying. You think that you are too far gone. I have carved out time. Let's go through your first session right now. If you believe that I'm the truth and I've got what's going on for you, then we'll talk money. And I've done that plenty of times. And by the end of it, they're so well educated. They're like, yes, I need this.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so cool. How many new clients do you guys onboard like per week or per month that go through this process?
Oh man, I knew you were going to ask that. I think the better question is how many one-on-one sessions we do a month, and it's right at 200.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So between the four of us, we do 200 sessions in a 30-day calendar time frame. We'll close on Sundays. So my guys make a living only doing one-on-one. So when people talk about like, oh, you just got lucky, it's like, no, we are super niched down on what we do. Like we address ADIs like it's oxygen. Yeah. And we tell them like, we're actually the only gym in Central Texas that does what we do, let alone the volume, but to the caliber of what we do. Like we are, man, the last session for whatever it is, you buy 12, 24, 48, and you're like, hey, look, we've got two sessions left. Are you talking about re-signing? They're like, no, you've done your job. I want to go back into class. So the last session is a tether session. They're back in class doing whatever. And then we bring them into the room and we have a questionnaire like, hey, is it okay if we get action shots of you in the gym? And then can you describe to me kind of what you've got going on? And then we print it out, either put them on the board or we put them in the book as a way to earn their permission to use them as a mouthpiece. Yeah. Hey, if so-and-so walks in the gym and they've got the same thing, can I connect you to? Yes, absolutely. Look at what you've done for me. Like, because our goal isn't to keep them in the one-on-one. It's to get them where they want to go. Unless they want to enter what's called return to sport, where there's just, then they show up and like, all right, mess me up. I don't want to think today. I've got a bunch of those. I mean, that's it. They want to come in, they want to break a sweat. They want to PR their bench press or whatever. They want to get stronger, but they don't want to think about it.
Yeah. Is that like, still one? You mean that's still return to sport is one-on-one?
Yeah. Yeah. So that at that point, it's skill specific or it's stimulus specific. Not at that point, I'm no longer solving a complex problem. I'm just solving a problem. Yeah. I want to bench 350. Okay. This is what we got to do.
Yeah.
That's the fun stuff. Yeah. Then you come in, the energy's hyped. Like at the end of it, they're super validated for what they're doing fitness wise, but they're not in pain.
Yeah.
That's the goal. That's the goal.
So you guys have 200 sessions a month, which is wild. Yeah. And then you've got your classes going on as well too, right?
Yep.
And how many classes a day do you guys have?
5, 6 a.m., 11:45, 4:35, 36:30.
Yeah. How many members do you guys have total?
We're actually the smallest gym in town. I think we're just over 100 with that, but we are a 50-50 split in regards to our one-on-one. Does I think it's 51% of our business now. Like maybe like three or four don't, but most of the people that do one-on-ones also do class two, but they have like, there's so much value inside the one-on-one because it's specific rest timers. We tell people all the time, no matter what color lipstick you put on the pig, it's still a pig. It is small group class instructor-led fitness. It doesn't matter if it's Mayhem, HWPO, if it's in-house programming or whatever it is, it's all the same thing. But it's generalized programming written for the general population. That works if the general population fits your mold. So if I've got somebody that's had frozen shoulder surgery that can't put both arms overhead, and we've got snatches on one day, jerks on another, handstand push-ups, wall balls even. It's inappropriate for that individual to go through class. Now, there are the ones, and every gym has one, where they scale and change and modify, and they're okay with that. But I personally see that as like a call to action because it's like, man, you're just in that cloud or funk or the bottom of the well. This is as good as it's ever going to get for me. And some people you can't resonate with. And I hate that because we are so good at what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So two things, but first I want to do this one first. So someone comes into your gym, can we do it? Can we roll through this process? This experience, tell me what you would do with this person.
Yeah.
They come to your gym and they've got the frozen shoulder.
Yeah.
Right. What does that process look for like for that person? And can you reconcile frozen shoulder to like, hey, full mobility overhead?
Yeah.
Is it pretty common?
So shorter answer, it depends. Third time I've said it. So we take them through a movement screen to establish their baseline. Yeah. Shoulder flexion, adduction, wrist, everything. We get all of our information. And then we classify it in three different columns. Number one, discomfort. The next is limited. So they can get there, but it's painful. They're not quite where they need to be for whatever reason, or completely full. They can get there, no pain. Everything's good to go. We show. Here are the checks here. Let's go over here. This is what we need to do. Here's how we get to it. Then we ask them, what do you want? Wave a wand. Because some people, they don't care. That it's not interesting enough. Their ADI isn't important enough for them to either pay any kind of money, a little bit of money, or a lot of money to get it done. We have to understand that kind of individual because you've heard the term, the golden rule, right? Treat others the way you want to be treated. That's not true. That's inappropriate and incorrect. It's treat others the way they want to be treated. Because I would talk to Kyle and be like, Kyle, this is how I would motivate Kyle. You can do this. You're a monster. Let's do this. You're a champion. Versus Logan, where it's like, hey, you are not good enough. You need to go faster. Like, that works really well for me. That may not work for that individual. Right. And we explain it to him. Hey, what do you want? Wave a wand. If they are like, look, I have tried everything. Chiro, PT, massage, stretching, all of it. That tells us they're very heavily motivated and incentivized to fix it. And then we don't gatekeep. Come here, let me show you something. Have you tried a single arm pullover? What does your adduction look like? Have you tried this? Have you done a scaption raise? No. Well, in the meantime, have you done landmine presses? No. Okay, that's where we're going to start. Come here. Let me show you what a session looks like for free right now.
Yeah.
And then we take them through it all. By the end of it, we carve out about 10 minutes. Okay, based on your movement screen and what you can do right now, I want to start you with however many sessions. Let's say 12. I'm going to start you with 12 sessions. This is what we are going to do. But because of the severity, I have to see you every day or every other day, or the lack of severity or the lack of time that you've dealt with this. I only need to see you once a week.
Yeah.
And then we go from there. At the six or the halfway point, we rescreen them. Because if we are not making categorical effective change in that time frame, it's not worth their money.
Yeah.
Look, we gotta get on top of this now.
So for someone with frozen shoulder, what kind of exercises would you give this person? Does that vary as well?
Yeah. So it's tailored to specific. Yeah. So you've got, so the first one with a W is called a Venus test. So you bring your forearms together, and then if you can separate your wrists, this tells me you need shoulder abduction or adduction. This tells me you need external rotation. So those two. The next one is your shoulder flexion. So being able to put your arm over your head. This tells me you need single arm pullovers. There's another one where it's abduction, where it's this way. This tells me you need single arm snow angels. We go through any of those. And then from there, going through the appropriate reps and sets that individual can minimally tolerate and maximally tolerate, we do that on repeat while strengthening them. So if they can't dumbbell press, they can landmine press with a lean in. If they can't dumbbell carry, we have them do a lean in hold with a landmine, because we create new range in their shoulder. But new range is weak range, and weak range is dangerous.
Yes.
We tell them that, hey, don't go off the rails. Don't do any of this. I'll see you in 48 hours. We're doing this again. And by that time frame, they're going to start to see something. Can we get them to snatch an overhead squat in 12 sessions? Maybe. Depends on how far they are gone in their shoulder, how long they've been dealing with it, all the above. It just depends. But I promise you, it will be far better than where they started. And we tell them, because your original question was, can you get them all the way back up to here? We tell them, maybe. But we are confident that we can solve from here to here. You want to be over here. We can get all the way this. I don't know what that is yet. If you are okay with at least reclaiming this much back, I will let you buy from me. But if you are like, nope, this is my expectation over here, all I'm going to do is show you what I can provide you. And then that's where I'm at. I'm not going to, you need 48 sessions. Give me a check for about $7,000. See ya.
Well, I like that. It's very much under promise, over deliver.
It's ethical sales.
Yeah.
This is what you need, no more, no less.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on passive hanging for shoulders?
Absolutely. If they can get into a range without it hurting, let's do it. Let's put them on a pull-up bar. Let's go from there. But we are also in the business of explaining it. Larry and Sean, they talk about fifth grade level. I don't need to go, you're supraspinatus, you're infraspinatus, you're sagittal. I don't do that. Hey, when you put your arms up here and you hang from a pull-up bar, does it hurt? Yes. Okay. Based on your movement screen, here is why. You don't have that range in your shoulder. Let me give you that range back, and then incrementally microdose the amount of pull-ups you do. Or if it's, okay, you can, but because you can't high pull enough weight, you don't have enough strength in your grip or your biceps, let's start with this weight. Or you can hang, but with a black band. So basically, I'm cutting like 50% of your body weight out. You can hang if you weigh 130 pounds. You don't. You weigh 200 pounds. Okay, we're not quite strong enough. The answer isn't to lose 70 pounds. It's to get them to a healthy level of strength.
Slowly build into that.
Yeah, so did that answer your question?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, these are just fun things that I like thinking about you know, as I critique my own body, you know, like, okay, what exercise can I do? Like, you actually showing me to do the upright row.
Yeah, I saw that on some of your videos.
It was awesome, dude. It was so cool. I've been crushing them and really, just really focusing on, you know, zip up high. Like, it's been super helpful. And so, like those types of things, I'm always thinking through for myself, but also my clients, like, hey, what drills, what exercises can I give them for X, Y, and Z? But I guess that brings me to my next question. Do you do any of this stuff remote ever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? What does that look like?
So she has no problem that I mentioned this. Her name is Sierra Cole. She was actually my first ever remote design for one-on-one. She had, I guess at a surface level, when you first look at it, it's like restless leg syndrome on one side. That wasn't it, but that was like what she was like closely relying or corresponding with. And I was like, okay, let me look at something real quick. And we had done the movement screen. We had done all of the above. And we strength balanced her. Well, one of the tests is you 5-rep deadlift. And everybody freaks out when they hear. But it's actually dead stop, double overhand, no gear, no chalk, no hook. With control. So whatever you're thinking, knock 300 pounds off. Like, I have a 600-pound deadlift. And I can only ever do that at like 350.
Yeah, so much harder.
Way harder. So everybody's like, that's not right. That we explain, you should be able to back squat 80% of that. She wasn't anywhere close to it. And she was a fantastic deadlifter. She wasn't anywhere close. So our job as professionals is to ask why three times. Number one, why does my leg hurt? Because it would wake her up out of sleep. So we checked the deadlift and the squat. Okay. Why can't you get that level of squatting? We checked her step up. Her step up was like 115 pounds on one and the bar on the other said, hey, your leg is vastly underdeveloped.
That's crazy.
You could initially see it like looking at her, but this woman has made the games twice now on a team. Like, she is the truth.
With that sort of imbalance?
Yeah. Well, was.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I showed it to her. I said, hey, look. Yeah. And then sure enough, she and I worked together two or three times a week. She would get to the gym at 5 a.m. with her team. And they would start about 5:30. So the night before, I would text her, hey, you need to complete these following movements. Here are links to what you've got going on, or this is how to do it. I will call you right at this time frame. You need this number of equipment, this thing. Here's how I need the camera set up. And then we would go through a 30, 40 minute FaceTime session, and she would be doing the movement with me watching. And I was in this exact spot, exact chair, headphones in, and be like, okay, turn your toe out, brace your stomach here. That's how I did virtually with her. Both of my boys now have virtual clients under exactly that. Her name is Abigail Wall. She fell off a 7-ton with her shoulder in like a ratchet strap, and she tore a labrum on that. So I should send you her screen. It's like one and then two. Oh,
dang, yeah.
Six sessions, she's here.
That's awesome.
She's here. She had to not do surgery because she was active duty military. Yeah. And if you go through the medical process, you can't deploy. So we're talking about livelihood here. You want to talk about tough? She said, no, I'm not doing that. I said, Abigail, you need what we have. Have you met Gage? Went through the same process. I actually used Sierra as a reference. Wow. And the rest is history. But yeah, I write individual design for people without the one-on-one for about 20 different people. From anything you can think of. I had one of my clients just give birth to a healthy baby boy, and she's in her 40s. We're all good. I've got people that have lost like 120 pounds. I've got people that just want to throw down in their garage. I've got people that want to try and make semifinals. So I've established a pretty healthy spectrum. Tell me what you want, and if I can give it to you, then I'll sell it to you. If not, no shot.
Yeah. Do you have some people... Have you ever had it happen where someone comes in, you put them through your functional movement screen, and they're like, you're like, hey, you're actually good.
Yeah. The goal is to actually have checks all the way down. We don't share our clients' findings out of respect for them unless we ask. But I've mentioned her before, Grace Mills. So Grace Mills, when she first started, I'll send you a picture of kind of what it is, and you can use it as a thumbnail. Had 45 degree structural lumbar scoliosis. So she has a curve in her spine, right?
Jeez.
She would always get that side convex pain in her leg. Rightfully so. She's putting more pressure on one side or the other. Well, you can go get the foot pressure test and they're like, here's some shoes. I'm like, that's not going to work for her. She is literally favoring one side. We reversed it. And it's not as crazy as it sounds. I had her lay on a med ball on the convex side, and then slowly over the time frame, it unlocked itself a majority enough, but she could bend over and her hunchback was gone.
No way.
She is an avid marathon runner, and she is a fantastic deadlifter. I think she pulls like 275. So when this comes out, chop this part up so I can send it to her, because she knew I was going to say this.
Dude, yeah. Heck. So, okay, so hold on. I want to make sure I understand. So if this is her spinal column, she had it curved, you know, to one side.
Yep.
Yeah. So you had her laying a med ball on this side and just decompress, essentially.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it wasn't done anything crazy. And don't get me wrong. I told her, I said, hey, I've got this much experience with it. I know this much about structural lumbar scoliosis. I don't know if I can help you. Let me do some research first. And so I did. I mean, I went down a rabbit hole about all of it for about 3 days. And she was actually one of my first clients that I, when we bought the gym, I was like, you need my help.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that part until she told me, and then went down and did it all. And I said, okay, I've got a few things. I can take care of X, Y, Z. I don't know about this one down here. Yeah. And then we slowly start. She would lay on a med ball for 2 minutes to that one side, 2 minutes before and after each session, every other day. And then enough, that was it. Like, and then all of the other things where we talked about symptom treating went away.
That's
because she was anatomically, so in your load versus capacity thing, there's this block that's called your anatomical dysfunction. This is how your body serves you. I can't unbreak Kyle's arm. I can't unroll my ankle. I can't undo your body has previously done. I got in a fight when I was younger and I had a break on my collarbone. So when I do this test is as far as I can go. Yeah. I can create different ways to move around it, but I can't unbreak it.
Yeah.
For her, I couldn't undo scoliosis. I could fix most of it. And then sure enough, as we go to start doing this, her capacity got so much bigger because this box took up a little bit less. I'm looking for the picture so I can show you.
So is scoliosis treatable to that extent? You know, I'm very illiterate when it comes to, I know what scoliosis is, but I don't know, can you treat it and fix it to a degree?
So that type, that specific type, yes. There is a type, and the name escapes me right now. Absolutely not. You can address it to the best of your degree, which I think it's her actually, but you can undo part of it. You can't completely remedy it, right? So as long as, like, think about this, Kyle, if you go to back squat, let's say your max is 600 pounds. You back squat 600 pounds every day, attaboy, for about a month. You're probably going to end up being shorter because you put all that pressure on your frame, right? But you go to chiropractor, you get adjusted, you have that real loud pop in your neck and your thoracic, and all of a sudden you're sitting up straighter. That's essentially what it was. But I didn't go popper. I just said, hey, look, we're putting a ton of pressure on this side. Let's give it some relief. Yeah. And then
hold on, let's see.
Uh-oh. This is about the time where we introduce an ad section. This podcast sponsored by.
And we're back. I'll have to edit that out later.
Yeah.
Hopefully the vacuum in the background's not too loud.
Yeah. No, I didn't actually hear it.
Okay, good.
I just sent you the picture of Grace to your phone. It's wild to see her stuff now.
I might not be able to pull it up on this.
No, that's all right. I just for your reference later.
Yeah, I'll take a look at it. No, dude, that's really cool. And I was the reason I was asking about the about doing it remote.
Yeah,
because I didn't know if it was possible, I guess. But I guess,
I mean, you have to have a certain time. You have to fit parameters. So we call it fish tank theory. So a fish can do whatever it wants in the fish tank, right? But we establish a floor, a ceiling, a do, a don't, right? Once we establish that parameter, it's like, okay, here's what we got. So the way it would work is XYZ. It got something going on. All right, cool. Do you have a phone? So you got to have a phone to start. If you don't have a phone, it can't work. Yeah. The ceiling is you need access to a gym in some way, shape, or form. And then you need at least this much exercise autonomy, yeah. right? You know what a dumbbell is, or you know what a barbell is. If you don't know what any of those is, there's way other things out there than what we've got going on. Yeah. And then it's don't do anything past here. These are our parameters. Kyle's got something going on for his shoulder. Hey, can you help me? I think. Let's find out. Prop your phone up. Hey, these are the 12 tests we need to go through real quick. Tell me what you feel. You need a non-elastic strap for this one for your prone heel to butt test. Okay, cool. I'll chart it out. I'll write it on our charts. And then, all right, number one, we need to go through this thing here. Here's your email, and I actually have it structured for you. I'll send it to you later. Of establish a 5 rep max strict press. Film from this side. If it hurts here, stop here. If it feels good, push this. All the above, and it's repeated for the entire strength balance, upper and lower. Once you do that, I chart it all back to the, there it is, right here, the strength balance sheet, which is in and of itself right there. And then I translate it back to you. All right, here's what you need to be doing. Here's what requires your most amount of energy and exertion, and then go from there.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Man, that is so cool. I feel like that's
hold you niche down. We're the only ones that do that kind of stuff. Most big camps, they have like an onboarding process or a testing thing where it's like a 5K row, a max snatch. Like, yeah, we do that, but that's not the big one. And yeah. If people like you can run parallels with that. So like if you came to me and you're like, all right, I want to see some progress here. This is my goal. I was like, okay, let's go down a deeper level. Let's ask why 3 times. Because again, I've worked with people that just want to get out of pain. Think about like Abigail and Sierra, but Sierra wanted to make the games. So it was okay. You're never going to be able to snatch and clean and jerk, which you need to snatch and clean and jerk or thruster and wall ball to this capacity as long as that leg is holding you back.
Yeah, that's insane, dude. That's a crazy imbalance. That's blowing. Yeah,
it was wild. I'm going to send it to you on a... Yeah, that's that one right there. That's my girl, man.
Insane, dude. Golly.
I mean, but it's she just got good at suffering. She just did it for a long time. And I was like, you don't have to live like that. And he was like, what are you talking about? Yes, I do. I've had it for 5 years. I'm like, what if you didn't? And then sure enough, I told her, I was like, you're going to need at least this many sessions because here's why. And then I said, after that, if you want to go again, we can. Yeah. But I don't need you on the hook for more than what's going to be effective.
Yeah, I love that, dude. I feel like people receive that really well.
Well, like, you have to, right?
I don't feel like you're scamming me. You right. actually.
So, I mean, but it's my job to convince you, or excuse me, not convince, because that sounds like ulterior motive or master manipulator, but it's my job to explain to you where you're lacking confidence in.
Yeah.
The company, which that's easy because I've got 100 people that have done it before. What you're buying, because I show you, hey, look, it's on paper. It's tailor suited to you. I'm the one doing it. And I've done all of these things before. I have experience. You're not going to go. Have you ever been on an airplane and then you're sitting down and then you land and then they come on the intercom and they're like, hey, this was our junior pilot's first ever solo flight.
I've never had that, but that's
no. Weird. Oh my god, it is terrifying. You're like, wait a minute, do I get junior pilot discount prices?
Yeah, you're like, well, hold on a second.
Fund me my ticket. We don't do that. We that whole like fake it till you make it. That's crap. We do not do that.
Yeah. You've got professionals handling. Yeah.
Gone are the day of sweaty college kids in shirts that don't match. Like, it's really funny. So Monday and Wednesday is green top, black bottoms. And when all my coaches walk in, 4:30, it's madhouse. Like, there's 4 of us with clients, and then my class coach is going. So there's five people in here. My class coaches, they are not active life professionals. They just coach CrossFit. But they are still expected to perform, speak, and behave like a professional.
Yeah.
And so they walk in and be like, oh, look, y'all, that's cute. Y'all are matching. And they all in unison go, you mean uniform?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you do that, dude, because CrossFit has that stigma of it being just like a bunch of dudes throwing down and then some, you know, stay at home mom wants to coach on the weekend or something. No, it's like
shot.
That worked in the beginning.
Yeah.
anymore. You got
to no disrespect to the stay-at-home mom at all, but it's you're not going to pay $200 a month to work at a gym for somebody to walk up and read a whiteboard.
No, not at all. You need to be a professional. You've got to understand how to coach someone and
help. There are seven gyms. And so there's Hearn, which is south or whatever, Brenham, which is south, and Hearn, which is north. College Station's in the middle. There are seven CrossFit gyms from Hearn to Brenham. There are 17 CrossFit gyms that even don't have affiliation. There are 35 gyms that are just gyms, period. So yeah, we are one of potentially 35, but we are held, I hold my team to the highest level of standard. Here's a way to separate us. We are very picky about who we hire because we pay them well, we clothe them, and then we teach them everything. Because it's not just about life skills, but you can't make a living being a CrossFit coach. You can't.
No.
You can here. You can here. But we also expect them, like I said earlier, you go into a doctor's office, you expect to pay doctor's office prices. When a new person walks in our gym, whether they're being greeted or expected, or they're just like, hey, I saw the sign. All of my coaches understand to turn around. Hey, give me just a second. Let me go greet this individual. Hi, my name's so-and-so. How can I help you? Yep. They get mobbed when they walk up. Not in a like, oh, let me get your money type deal, but hey, if you need any questions, come grab me. This is so-and-so. CrossFit is the only business and or boutique gym where the people that hold a membership voice their opinions as if they own stock in the company. Right? It's like, okay, I understand and respect that, but here we go. And so we make sure we treat people with a level of professionalism and respect. They're like, hey, we value what you're paying for. We're going to give you twice what you're paying.
Yeah.
That's the plan. We come up short, we still exceed expectations.
No, that's so cool, man. And I'm glad you're doing that and you're raising the standard. And I think any successful CrossFit gym has to get to that point. Like if you want to stay successful and you want to scale and grow it, like you've got to get to that point. Gone are the days of it being just like a crap show.
I mean, if you want to be a CrossFit gym in my town, this is what you have to do. And to cultivate negativity, but it's here's your standard. Like we're going to set the bar. Yeah. Because there's a gym like 5 miles this way, and there's a gym like literally the same road 3 miles down the road. And we don't want them. We classify it, Sean and Larry describe it as like the food business. When you get hungry, you want to go buy whatever it is. A steakhouse doesn't concern itself if McDonald's opens up next door because they attract a different market. And that's what we do. We tell people, hey, this. I had a guy come in I think it was 2 weeks ago. He wanted to buy an open gym membership mainly for access to the shower during the middle of the day. And I told him, I said, brother, there's a Gold's Gym or like a True Fit not 1 mile that way, and they are significantly less. And he's like, I mean, but y'all are right here by my work. And I said, do you have any interest in group classes? He's like, no. I said, do you care to clean and jerk and snatch? No, I'll probably just use the lat tower and stuff like that. I said, wouldn't be worth your money. Here's why. It's, $100 a month to come work out here. You call this individual down there, they'll get you hooked up for $30 to $50 a month to do whatever you want. And he looked at me, he's like, that's a really weird way to do business. I said, yeah, but you're going to cancel in, a month or two, whatever you got going on. If you just need to use the restroom when you're in between jobs, come on. Yeah. That is how we do business.
Yeah. Yeah. He was probably like, you're not going to just take my money. Like what?
No, you need more than a heartbeat and a credit card to join the gym. And that's what we tell you.
I like that. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, you better.
Well, dude, this was really awesome. And I appreciate your time, man. I think people are going to get a lot of value out of this and understanding really the biggest thing is that you don't have to be stuck where you're at. Like there is a way to get help and just step into it with a little bit of courage and be willing to be vulnerable and accept the idea that you can change.
Ask questions. That's the big one is ask questions. The medical professional world has kind of concreted themselves on, we'll get a second opinion. Your fitness shouldn't be any different, but being able to tolerate what you have going on in your life, it doesn't have to be like that either. And I say this very empathetically, having watched my dad slowly eat himself to death. So That's, I mean, it's a deeper, heavier story from in a podcast number two or whatever we've got going on, but it doesn't have to be where you are currently. Find someone that sees you and then ask the hard questions. And if not, and they don't match where you are, be it personality type, expertise, or whatever you've got going on, then you can exit. But ultimately, it's going to come down to some level of incentivization and investing in yourself, because you are worth paying that kind of money. You just have to find the right person that will cultivate you. Because remember, it starts up here. You have diabetes. You are not diabetic. Because saying things are so much more powerful than people realize. That that's the big one. You are what you talk about.
Dude, here, I want to finish with this, actually. So I'm so glad you said that, too. There's a video on YouTube, and maybe you've seen it. They did this test, and they made it like a really cool music video. Yeah. They did this test where they were blasting like really awesome sounds, like sounds you just enjoy listening to, in toward water. And they were watching how water would react to the vibrations. And the water would make like these crazy like designs, and like it would flow and move, and it was like really pretty. And you're like, how? And it would as the vibration would change, the design would change, and it would literally move across this. It was so cool. I forget what it was called, but what they were showing was, to your point, your words and your vibrations actually affect you internally more than you can even realize. Because we're whatever the percentage is of water, like you can actually, this is like quote unquote woo woo stuff, but how you speak about yourself and others does affect them on a physiological level, and it can be for good or for bad. So the things you say and think, like, it matters more than people realize.
You are what you tolerate, and you don't have to be good at suffering. If there's one thing that I tell people, it doesn't have to be like that.
Yeah.
So that's it. Like, and again, subtle plug here. My name is Logan Jenkins. I own CrossFit SDA with my amazing wife, Samantha Jenkins. We're on Instagram at CrossFit SDA. I encourage anybody that sees this to reach out. Maybe we can help you. Maybe we can't. If we can't help you, we will tell you. And that's kind of the big one. But we're human first, business owners second.
Love that, man. All right, dude. Thank you for your time, bro. Seriously, this is a great podcast. I'm really excited we got to sit down and chat. We'll do another one sometime soon.
Say when. My door is always open. If you're ever in College Station, Texas, come on.
I need to come out there, bro. I've not been out to College Station ever.
You come out and do it. We'll get you on an Aggie football game. Hopefully they perform worth a crap, because they haven't been recently. And then we can make a whole thing, you know, rebuilding Kyle or documenting all of it, so that you can come and do it. We'll get you your own movement screen, strength balance, and then get you to semifinals this year.
That'd be cool, dude. All right, bro. Enjoy the rest of your day, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
To you as well, brother. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right.
Thank you.